The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now. It is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and the senior advisor to healthcare.com and the healthcare detective, which we said before. And here he is. Hi, Frank.
Yes, I'm a busy guy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I have a question for you after you are done speaking.
Oh, okay. We're going to wait all the way to the end for the question.
Yes, because okay. You might answer it. Who knows?
I try my best. Okay, so let's start with some good news. Connecticut is actually speeding toward herd immunity from COVID-19. Now, I hate that herd immunity phrase. I call it community immunity, okay? Where we're all essentially safe from COVID-19. Now, Connecticut's goal is to vaccinate about 110,000 people a week. But the state recently hit 30,000 vaccinations in just one day. So we're definitely on the right track. Now, if the supplies of the vaccines that are out there, the Pfizer, the Moderna, and the Johnson & Johnson, if those supplies hold up, 50% of all adults in this state could get at least one shot by May. And remember, you only need one shot of the Johnson & Johnson. So experts say Connecticut could reach community immunity with around 70% of all adults vaccinated by August, maybe even July. But there are three things that we really should worry about. First, highly contagious variants, those are mutations of the COVID-19 virus, they're spreading, they're in the state. In fact, they're all over the Northeast. Second, Governor Lamont's strict age-based vaccination plan is putting black and brown people and those with comorbidities at grave risk. And Governor Lamont's aggressive March 19th reopening scheme could trigger yet another statewide surge and more deaths. So on the variants, the so-called B117, you may have heard about that. That's the one that came in from the United Kingdom, B117. Will become the dominant strain here by April. It's just a couple of weeks away. It spreads up to 50% faster than the original COVID-19, makes more people sick, and obviously it kills maybe up to 30% more people than the original virus that was first discovered in China. Now, thankfully, our three vaccines seem to be effective against the B117. So as long as we keep vaccinating, we should be able to blunt that UK strain. But there are more threatening variants out there. The one from South Africa is already here, a couple of cases, which means there's a lot more. The one from Brazil, that's the one that worries me the most. It will surely reach us if it's not already here. We just haven't detected it. That one worries me because our vaccines may not be at all effective against it. That's why I think we'll have to roll up our sleeves again in the fall to get a booster shot against the variants that are out there, including the one from Brazil. So, Jill, there's a trade-off here. We'll have community immunity this year, but we'll have to get a yearly booster. It's going to be like the flu. You go in the fall, you get your shot against the flu. Now you're going to go in and get a shot against the flu and another shot against the COVID at least once a year. So what do you think? What do you make of that trade-off?
I'll bet you $1 million. No, I'll bet you full funding for this radio station that you will get one shot.
That you will get one shot.
You will get a flu/COVID shot.
A flu/COVID shot. They're working on it.
I will. As a matter of fact, I
think that's why you just bet the whole station because.
No, I bet the budget, which we need.
I want the whole station. All right. I think you're right about that. I think they'll be able to get it where it's
You'll
one shot.
You'll get one shot, and that will be that, and we can all live happily ever after. Well, you asked me what you thought, so that's.
I think that's an excellent point. All right, let's turn to Lamont's age-based vaccination rollout. I don't know what you'll bet on this one, Jill. It defies the CDC guidance, that's Center for Disease Control, the guidance they put out by not allowing people with comorbidities like heart disease or diabetes and high-risk workers like people who work in the grocery stores, other frontline workers, are not allowed to get the shot. They can't get in line. The exception is school personnel, teachers, cafeteria workers, janitors. They can get their shots. Otherwise, you have to wait for your age bracket. If you're not the right age, no matter what your comorbidities are, you cannot get the shot. You got to wait. Now we're vaccinating people 55 years and up. In March 22nd, we'll go from people from 45 to 54 will be allowed to get shots. April 12th, it'll be 35 years old to 44. And on May 1st, finally, all the adults, 16 years of age and up to 34 in that bracket, everybody in the state will be eligible to get a shot. Finally, that's May. Now, that meets President Biden's goal. He wants all states to take away all restrictions to adults to get a shot by May 1st. Connecticut will do it. Let's hope that every other state in the country does it as well. Now, the governor says his plan, age-based, speeds up the vaccines. It's a very simple plan. You just watch your age, you get in line, you know, no messing around. And Connecticut is one of the top five states week after week in the speed of the vaccination program. They have 30% of the adults in the state have now gotten at least one shot, and that's well above the national average. And Governor Lamont adds that it stops healthy people from gaming the system, like people are doing right and left in New York State, and I think he's absolutely right about that part. I personally know about a very healthy young woman, terrific, talented young woman, who said she was only 5'1", so she shaved about 4 or 5 inches off her height, and therefore she registered as obese. Now, in New York State, if you're obese, you can get a shot. She got a shot as obese by essentially crunching down to 5'1". But what about the younger people with actual comorbidities? Now, the data shows that 10%, 1 out of 10 of the people who died of COVID under the age 65, 1 out of 10, are 16 years of age up to 45. So they're young people and they're dying. Furthermore, they tend to be black and brown people with real disabilities. I mean, three legal aid groups and a disability organization have filed federal lawsuits to force the Lamont administration to vaccinate the most vulnerable, regardless of age. So here's what this question really boils down to. Should Governor Lamont's vaccination effort be an end in itself? Hey, we're vaccinating a lot of people. We're doing it quickly. Or should it be a means to reducing suffering and death as much as possible? Now, I know where I stand on this, but I think Governor Lamont should compromise. Instead of vaccinating a person with just one comorbidity, and you can fudge that, like my friend down in New York, obese friend down in New York State, okay, one comorbidity, maybe that's not enough. Let's require two comorbidities. Now, those people with two comorbidities, they really need protection. So, Jill, What do you make of that compromise? Maine is doing something very similar right now. What do you think of that compromise for Lamont?
I think that you're going to have to get people to stop cheating. So, I mean, when is everybody supposed to be eligible? Well, you said April something?
It'll be May 1st, where everybody. No, 16
the
years
but yeah. But the main people who are getting having done an unscientific survey in certain age groups. So what is it? 55.
It's 55 now.
All right. What's
55,
what's
essentially 55 and up now.
And then it's 45 and up. Is he going?
And then it'll be 45 and up in about 3 weeks.
Okay, so 3 weeks.
So let's see. March 22nd. Yeah. So it'll be 45 and up, and then in April, mid-April, it'll be 35 and up, and then
okay,
in May 1st, it takes away all restrictions. If you have to have two comorbidities, it gets a little trickier, right? To game the system.
A little. They just shut a clinic in California that was for the elderly because all the Hollywood, not all of them, but a good 900 Hollywood types were trying to cut the line. It's pretty comical. I don't know if you saw South Park the other night.
I mean, look, I've talked to doctors who said they've been approached with bribes. I mean,
I know. He's like, oh, $2,000 a year.
People will try everything they can try.
So I kind of think that understanding that, understanding human nature, et cetera, might have done it differently, might have said three comorbid. I don't know, because in the end, it's going to net out to pretty much the same thing. And I do think that if you are really and truly ailing and you really and truly have a comorbidity and you really and truly go to your doctor and say, help, doctors being doctors might have an ability to organize something.
Yeah, I just hate the backdoor approach to it. I think Lamont is being too strict, and he ought to compromise here.
Okay.
But look, let's talk about Lamont's aggressive reopening plan, the March 19th reopening plan. Now, I agree with the many experts who say that he's risking another outbreak. Now, we're down to below 3% positivity, but still 15 people a day are dying. And I think he's risking another outbreak here. Now, the governor says, hey, we're not Texas, we're not Mississippi, we're not Oklahoma. That's because he's still saying you should be requiring people to wear masks and to social distance. That's good. But he's allowing restaurants to go to 100% capacity and stay open till 11 o'clock at night. Now, Carol and I were just down in New York City. We ate in three restaurants indoors at 35% capacity, and we felt perfectly safe. And we've even eaten indoors in Connecticut restaurants at 50% capacity and felt safe. But Carol says, look, this is counterproductive. She will not go into a Connecticut restaurant at 100% capacity. We'll drive across the border and go to New York State and dine there. So I think again, Lamont has gone too far, and he ought to pull that back. But now Lamont, in his defense, says, this is no time to let your guard down. Thank you very much. It's a bit rich, because he's allowing the following. Besides restaurants with no capacity limits for retail, offices, houses of worship, gyms, personal service stores like hair salons and nail salons, and libraries. Now, some librarians are already saying, hey, okay, I understand I can have 100% capacity in my library, but we're not ready for that, and it's not safe, and we're not going to allow it. We're going to put some restrictions at the door. Plus, Lamont is increasing private parties up to 25 people indoors, 100 outside, and event halls where you go for an anniversary or a wedding to 100 people indoors and 100 people outside. Now, okay, finally, people in Connecticut can have their anniversary party or their wedding, and that's a good thing, I think. But he's also allowing sports events to have fans of up to 50% outdoors, up to 10,000 people, and he's allowing 10% capacity inside, okay, in an arena. Well, I can tell you this, count me out. I am not going to win a crowd. And I'm double vaccinated. I feel pretty safe, but I'm not going into an outdoor arena at 50% capacity with 10,000 people. That's just not going to happen. So at this point, Jill, I think our own common sense has to kick in. Wear your mask, social distance, avoid crowds. If you get invited to a wedding and you think it's going to be safe and people will be wearing their masks and social distancing as much as possible, you might attend that. But think about it twice. If you're not feeling safe, you're putting yourself at risk, you're in one of these age brackets that's below where Lamont is allowing you to protect yourself, then you have to protect yourself. That's what it boils down to. What's your thought on that?
I think that in the end, it boils down to you anyway. I don't think that it's up to, and shouldn't be up to, mommy or daddy or the government. I think that you should know enough about yourself and what you're comfortable with and deal with it. And all I mean by that is, if you're not comfortable, I know people who have no plans to do XYZ until XYZ, fine. But I don't think you have to mandate it. I think that there are other people who are quite comfortable to do it. It is a matter of personal comfort. And with any luck, by now, you know enough about, one knows enough about oneself to sort themselves out. End of story.
Yeah, I would just say, I think mandating masks and social distancing is very important for the next couple of months before we get to that community immunity. I think the more people who are wearing masks, the more people who are social distancing, the safer we'll all be. And I think the government has to remind people to, about that. And,
I don't think people have forgotten, and I also think that we're out of time.
Okay. All right. Last words here. Oh, you were going to ask me a question.
And I am going to have to save it for later.
Oh, sorry. That was a bait and switch. All right. Talk to you
soon. Bye-bye. Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and naturally on my desk.